to read to a dying man who did not know the gospel, we would probably select this chapter as the most suitable for such an occasion. And what is good for dying men is good for us too. For that's what we are, dying men. And how soon we may be at the gate of death, none of us can tell. That's what C.H. Spurgeon had to say of this. And it's an amazing passage, what I've just read. Who was Nicodemus? Well, just a little bit of Greek. His name is made up of two Greek parts. Nike, which we know has been a sportswear firm, but means conquers. And Demos, which, if you like, you can relate to demography, means people. So his name actually means a conqueror of people. I'm going to introduce you to another word, and you probably might not be able to see it from where you are. But I'll tell you what it reads. It reads pneumatos. And it's an often word used in this passage. Refers to the spirit. It's from which we get the word pneumonia. Pneumonia is an infection in the lungs. And the lungs, of course, is where we take in breath and how we breathe, and it's related to that. Also, pneumothorax, another medical word, which means a collapse of the lungs. So, pneumatos means the presence of wind, and it can mean spirit, and literally wind as well. So there we have it. But I'll hold this up a few times at appropriate points, or maybe inappropriate points, if you're unlucky. People who have been churchgoers for a long time have a secret feeling, I think, that we ought to know more about God than we feel we do. Do you have that feeling? We may have a bunch of ideas about God and some questions, but we feel embarrassed to ask them because we think we should know the answers. Or worse, we have given up asking the questions in the first place. And this may be how Nicodemus felt when he came to Jesus. In Hebrew, his name is Ben Gurion, and he was the leader of the Pharisees, a member of the Sanhedrin, which is the Supreme Council, and a tribunal which was headed by the high priest, and they covered religious matters and civil and criminal law as well. To me, it reminds me a bit of Sharia type of law. They cover everything, don't they? And they, you know, but a bit like that. That was what the Sanhedrin was all about. And Nicodemus was an expert in Jewish law. But somehow Jesus had some vital experience, information that Nicodemus knew that he wanted to get at. It intrigued him. And he was trying to find out whether Jesus was for real and ask him questions. And he'd hardly opened his mouth, had he, when Jesus interrupted and said, "You must be born again." Very controversial subject, "You must be born again." And we hear so much, in a way it's been nicked, stolen from the scriptural passage. People say, "I'm a born again, whatever. I'm a born again swimmer," when they've changed something in their life. But it doesn't have quite the same spiritual connotation. So he went at night to talk to Jesus, maybe hoping that no one would notice. Maybe because of who he was, he didn't want all his peers to know that he was coming to see Jesus. The answer Jesus gives to him does its work on him, and he is transformed eventually, seeing everything differently. Later, we can read of how he brought spices for burial of Jesus in John 19. And also he spoke up for Jesus in front of the Sanhedrin. So he changed from being a questioner to being a doer, really. And in a sense, as an intellectual person that he was, he represents all men, and in a sense represents what is highest in men. The idea "you must be born again" shattered the Jewish idea that their racial identity, their old birth, assured them a place in God's kingdom. They were descendants of Abraham, you see, so they thought, "We're saved already, we don't need to bother, we're descendants of Abraham." You can imagine that, can't you? But Jesus shocked Nicodemus into saying, "You must be born again. It's not enough to have you an old birth." Some rabbis, apparently, taught that Abraham stood at the gates of hell, making sure that none of his descendants wandered in there accidentally. More likely that the phrase "born again" is probably better translated as "born from above." It means the same thing. It means to have new life. It isn't something we can do ourselves. And this is the perplexing bit. Jesus had said, "Unless you are washed, you cannot see the kingdom of God." We can then think, can't we? "Well, I can wash myself." And we do. And we think we can do everything for ourselves. But you can't ever birth yourself. And all over the New Testament, the idea of rebirth occurs. 1 Peter speaks of being born anew by God's great mercy. And also, born anew from an imperishable seed. James speaks of God bringing us forth by the word of truth. Titus speaks of the washing of regeneration. And 2 Corinthians speaks of being a new creation We're all familiar with that. But it was a shock to Nicodemus, apparently. How can a man be born when he is old? He asked. So he goes back to what he understood of it. And he said, oh yeah, how can we be born again? But Jesus was talking of spiritual things and not of physical things. And he says, I speak of heavenly things. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. And the Son of Man is Jesus' favourite phrase for himself, apparently. So the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And then he goes to that famous verse, which we all know, for God so loved the world. And he comes back to this word, pneumatos, again. The Spirit goes where it wants. And that's what is perplexing, in a sense, for us. Because you don't know where the Spirit's going. It's like, very much like wind. It goes one way, goes another direction. And it's, Derek will appreciate this, that when we play golf, Derek much better than me, it's always good to know which way the wind is going, as to how hard you hit it, whether you hit it slightly to the left, slightly to the right, etc. But you can only know that on the day. You can't plan it the day before, the week before, the last time you played golf before, which was ages ago for me. But so not only we can't help ourselves, God does it. And that's the difficult bit to explain of this. You must be born again, but by the way, you can't do anything about it. The Spirit just appears. Or can we? No, we can't. But what we can do is to submit ourselves to God and pray to him and read his word, obey his commands, and who knows, the Spirit might turn up in us. John Wesley was, by all events, a minister before he felt his heart strangely warmed in him. And he had that experience then, and he was already a minister, already preaching the gospel. But it wasn't until he had that experience. And of course, today we hear many people. I was brought up in a Pentecostal church, and so the phrase, you must be born again, was well used and overused in some ways. But you always felt a bit like it was making other people feel like second-rate citizens. And they're not really. They're just like us. So many a sermon on the Spirit. Probably one of the first sermons I heard was about Nicodemus, and I've heard many since. But my favourite verse is, for God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Paul said, work out your own salvation. In other words, there is something we can do. It's not where the Spirit appears necessarily, and sometimes you don't feel it, but it's there. And we can help ourselves in that sense by working out our salvation. And for me, it will be different than for you. I have different problems than you have. Although they're similar in many ways. I'm only a human just the same, honestly. So we all have different inclinations, different sins, different things that we do, and we need to work out our own salvation. So I think I'll close now. How can a man be born again when he is old? He asks. And Jesus surprised him with a very surprising answer. You must be born again. And sometimes you might not even be, you might not be aware that you're born again. You might not be aware of anything much, but in a way you can see the path where the Spirit has been looking back. If you look back on your life, you can see, oh, God was with me there, or, you know, God did such a thing for me. And that's what he wants to do for us. But we have to play our part. Okay, let's pray.